Greetings, everyone. This is Jonathan Alexander, editor of College Composition and Communication, and I'm here today with Eli Goldblatt, professor at Temple University, and the author of Don't Call It Expressivism, Legacies of a Tacit Tradition. Also joining us is Jens Lloyd, editorial assistant for the journal. Eli, thanks for speaking with us today.
Oh, I'm excited to talk to you.
So we always ask our authors to tell us a little bit about the backstory of the article. How did you come to write this particular piece?
Well, I could go very far back, but let me, I'll start with, when I was a graduate student, my first idea for a dissertation was to write about creative writing and expository writing, how they were alike and how they were different, and how the field treated them differently. I was going to use James Britton as the kind of the fulcrum theorist. And the reason I was going to do that is because I'm a poet. I've been writing poetry since about 1968 or 69, I've lived really two separate lives, a life in composition and a life in poetry, published alongside the two, but only very seldom have I directly made connections in the two fields in terms of publishing, either in one mentioning the other, on the poetry side or on the composition side. What's happening to me right now as I'm moving toward retirement I'm also a lot of things that I've been working on in my life are beginning to come together. So I'm working on a book right now on community literacy. And I'm working with David Jolliffe on this. And both of us are among some of the big things we're writing about are arts projects that involve literacy. So I've been really thinking about this for a long time, but the nub of this article comes from, and I mentioned it in the article, a graduate student, she was an undergraduate at the time, Rachel Evstathion, came to me and said, I'm really interested in this expressivism stuff. Can I read it? Contemporary expressivist. And I said, well, no, you really can't, because nobody wants to admit that they're expressivists anymore. So she began doing a lot of reading, back reading about who the expressivists were and who still stands up for that tradition. And our conversations really made me think about where did this tradition go? What did it morph into? And then I began to look around and say, well, really, isn't there an element of expressivism in almost everything we do in the field? It's just never called that. So I started, and then I ran into some of the books that I talk about in the article. I started with, particularly with, Bob Jagielski's book, because it really struck me how much the way he was talking about writing really harkens back to a way, Elbow and some of the other folks were talking about writing 20, 30, 40 years ago. And I didn't know until later, Lad Tobin told me that Bob Jagielski had studied at New Hampshire as a master's student with Graves and Murray. So suddenly I began to see more connections than really we speak about publicly, because you can't see that in Bob's book, except that you can see it if you know it. Mm-hmm. So I began to think about this more and more. And what I'd say is that it was a way for me to think through a lot of threads that were running through what what I saw as contemporary debates, and it helped me bring them together in different ways. The other one, and you can ask me more questions on this, but the other issue here was naming what we know and writing about writing, which I think is it's just really smart work in this area, done by people, and I mentioned this in my article, the people, many of whom are very dear friends of mine. But I always felt that there was something not being named in the naming. And I think as I began to think about expressivism, I began to think, well, maybe this is part of what my concern is for it. Is that there's a kind of in the move to professionalizing, there's a kind of there's a loss of the juice that expressivism, in all its sloppiness and in some ways badly framed arguments, really does point to. Why do people write? What drives them to write? And what do people who are outside the academic world want to write? Mm-hmm. And that's quite important to me too.
Yeah. So, I'm reminded that when we did some surveys of students here over the last couple of years and asked them to talk about how they defined writing, not just what they wrote, where they wrote it, how they wrote it, but we asked them, what is writing? Mm-hmm. The overwhelming response, the one word that appears more often than any other is the word expression or express. Yep. In different form. And obviously these are young people not thinking about expressivism as a composition movement, right? Or as a set of composition theories. But the notion of writing as a form of expression is one that seems to persist through a lot of education. And I thought it was curious because I don't know that any of our writing courses here actually ask students to express. Mm-hmm. We ask them to be rhetors. We ask them to be researchers. We ask them to argue.
Right.
And so I'm just intrigued by this, and I really appreciate the exigence that you offer the article. Also reminds me of a conversation I had recently with a colleague about how we in composition and rhetoric studies seem to have just given up on the word, if we ever really had it, of creativity. That we don't talk about writing in terms of creativity. Can you respond to that?
Well, I've been trying to respond to that for.
When I introduce myself as a writing coordinator, I say I'm in charge of all writing except the creative kind.
Right.
And I think, well, wait a minute, that's kind of crud.
Right. Isn't
what we do also creative in a broad sense?
Well, I'll raise another word that is even more difficult to talk about, and that's the imagination.
Right.
That's William Carlos Williams' word. Mm-hmm. And I mean, obviously many other people use it, but do we say, I mean, think about the literature on invention. How do you have a literature on invention and not use the word creative or even the imagination?
Right.
I was just actually talking to my son's girlfriend, who called me really excited because she had just gone. She's a teacher. She's a preschool teacher, but she got really excited. She was asked to volunteer for a teen program, and she wants to. She's from a Portuguese family, and she he wants her to help start a support group for immigrant teens in the neighborhood where they live, where there are an awful lot of immigrants living in that area. And she said to me, as she was in such her excitement, she said, I'm not a creative person, but this is really an exciting thing for me. And I'm making connections I never made before. And I said, Jenny, of course you're a creative person. There are all kinds of ways you're creative. And what it's doing is this is tapping a way of thinking that you maybe may not recognize is going on all the time in your life. And I think this is part of the problem that you're raising is if how can we have a field that claims to be about writing and not deal with the faculties of creativity, because they're at work all the time.
Sure. You know? Creativity and criticality, being creative thinking, yeah, and critical thinking aren't opposites.
Absolutely not. And I mean, really, part of the problem here is, and I don't want to go too far into this, but you know, we have this long-standing feud with the literature faculty, and what's happened is all the politics that play out in English departments seep into and saturate the way we think about the issues that we write about and deal with in our scholarly lives. And so we come to the place where we say, of course, we're not in control of the creative writing on this campus because we're not. Because there's a line drawn, and you stay on this side of the line, and you stay on this side of the line. But if you're thinking about writing, if you're thinking about how people do what we call literacy, how can you not include creativity and the imagination in the process of generating texts? Now the thing that's occupying me right now is, and it's too long to get into all of it, but when you step outside the academic world, you know, it's like your research project, but if you step even further out and you go to a neighborhood center and you're working with a group of women who get together when they've dropped their kids off at school to write about their lives and what their hopes are and so on. You have to deal with the issue of expressivism because because that's the way they experience this project.
Yeah, of course. So.
Eli, I'm wondering, to kind of wrap things up here, what is next for you? How are you kind of taking this work forward, both in terms of scholarship, but also in terms of teaching? And I noticed in the article and in even your responses, you talk a lot about graduate student training. So I'm just wondering about how you're looking to move this particular project forward, or just in general, what is next for you?
Well, two things to say. One is that, you know, the project I'm working on right now is really a project to figure out how do we talk about literacy outside of the field of composition, rhetoric, and literacy. In other words, if you go to talk to an education policy person, or you go to talk to an artist who works in a homeless shelter, and you say, no, you know what you're doing is really literacy. They'll say, well, what do you mean by literacy, right? So I'm trying to figure this out for myself, and the word expression comes up immediately when we're talking about this. And I'm writing about particularly a guy named Hal Adams, who was a popular educator in Chicago for many, many years. And so that's a piece of what I'm doing. But he talks really quite freely about expression in these writing groups he's doing. But I want to know how do the writing groups he does connect to people who do arts projects and on murals and all kinds of things. The other thing is that there's another unexamined problem that's coming into our field, and we're going to have to deal with it, which is that my guess is as much as 30% of the writing courses taught in the United States in first year writing programs are taught by poets and fiction writers with MFAs, because they ain't got jobs doing anything else. And they often take the practicum in their graduate program, and they kind of get interested in teaching writing.
Sure. Right?
So the question is, are they simply strangers in our field that we pay them $3,500 a course to cover our odd courses in first year writing, or do we say, here's how your interests fit in to the overall interests of writing programs, you know? So we're going to have to, so here's an employment issue that goes along with the political issue of the departments to try to understand, what do we mean when we say writing?
Those are important issues. I completely agree with you that, especially thinking not only about how people understand what it means to be literate, but also understanding who are the people who are teaching writing right now, and how do they understand the work that we do?
Right.
Pressing questions. Eli, not surprising at all that you are at the forefront of thinking about these things. Everyone, don't call it Expressivism, Legacies of a Tacit Tradition. You can read it in the February 2017 issue of CCC. Thank you, Eli.
Thank you guys very much. Thanks.